We read in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, "For God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation." The songs that were sung this evening were based upon the Word of God. And there certainly was a message there for everyone here this evening. We think of Christmas and we think of the Lord Jesus Christ being born. We think of a babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so this is the way he came. It was God's purpose and plan before the foundation of the world that this is how the Savior of mankind would come into the world. But have you ever stopped to consider and to think why he came? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come in the first place? That was answered this evening, a verse that was read, Matthew 1, 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "And she, that is Mary, shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man was come to seek and to save that which was lost. We see from those two verses the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ had to come. Because of man's sinful condition. You see, each one of us here this evening has a dreaded disease, and that's sin. We were born in sin. David writes that we were conceived in sin. And none of us can escape that. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by practice. What is sin? The Word of God tells us that sin is anything that is contrary to God's perfect standard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, God has standards. God is holy and God is perfect. And what he expects of us is perfection. So anything short of God's standards breaks that law. The breaking of any one of the Ten Commandments is sin. Not loving the Lord, Jesus Christ, with all our heart, soul, and strength falls short of that standard, and that's sin. Envy, pride, jealousy, greed, anger. These things are all sin, and these things are all things that we have done and that we do because this is the nature that we were born in. So you say, "What? Well, if that's what I was born in, how can I change? How can I be made right if I don't satisfy the demands of a holy and a righteous God?" And again, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come. What does God think of sin? We read in the Word of God, he says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We read in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages are something that we deserve, something that we earn. And since each one of us are sinners, then each one of us deserve death, the judgment and the wrath of God, because we miss his standard, we miss his mark. So the conclusion then from the Word of God, from Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12, is that all have sinned. We read in Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You see, through Adam and through his transgression in the Garden of Eden, sin entered this world. Sin entered the human race. And we are offspring of Adam. And sin has been passed down through us to this day. So we see that we are all under the penalty then of sin, which is death. And this verse says that death came into the world by sin so that we all die. We see also from John 3:18 that we are already condemned. There's no middle road. We can't sit on a fence and say we either believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or we don't, or we believe the Word of God or we don't. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believes not hath not life. So again, the question, why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to come? He had to come to reconcile sinful man with a holy and a righteous God. And yes, he came as a babe. This was God's plan and purpose, but that he grew and he became a man. And at the age of somewhere around 33, in the young years of his life, he was made a substitute for each one of us. The sins of every one of us were laid upon him, were heaped upon him on the cross of Calvary. And he suffered at the hands of a holy and a righteous God who had to punish sin. Someone had to bear the iniquities of us all. As we read in Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That was the next to last song that was sung. Was from Isaiah chapter 53. We see that he became our substitute. He who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might be made the righteousness of God. So he had to come and he had to die. God had to do something to reconcile man back to himself, or every one of us would be doomed and damned to a lost eternity in hell, because we're sinners and that's what we deserve. But God in His grace and His love and His mercy sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. It was brought out in the songs that He indeed was God in the flesh. God came to this earth. From John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And then we read in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, God had to become man. He had to take upon Him the form of a servant, and he had to be made in the likeness of flesh. But the difference with him was that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, spotless, blameless. There was no sin in him. But yet he was fully man, and he was fully God. And he had to become man so that he could bear our iniquities as a man, so that our sins could be put upon him. This is why he had to become a man. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, by his stripes we are healed. So what are we to do with this one, the Lord Jesus Christ? The one who came as a babe, the one who grew, the one who was offered upon the cross of Calvary, the one who suffered and bled and died a horrible death for the sins of this world. What's required of you here this evening? Oh, we must make a decision. Because if we do not make a decision, we've already made a decision in doing that. If you say, "I'll think about what the Word of God says," then you've already made a decision against Him. The last song that was sung was from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God wants us to admit that we've sinned, that we've come short of the glory of God, that we are lost, that we deserve His wrath and His judgment because of what we are as human beings. We have to see ourselves as God, the righteous and holy judge, sees us, as sinners before Him. We have to realize that we need this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to repent. God hath commanded everywhere that we repent. And all that means is to have a change of mind about sin and see it the way God sees it. And that change of mind will result in a change of heart and will result in a change of life. To see ourselves before God as sinners. To repent means to turn 180 degrees. To turn from our sin and to turn to God. To turn to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He wants us to believe on Him. Acts 16:30, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe what He has done for us. Believe on His work on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He died and was buried, was raised again from the dead. This was God's approval of the work that had been done. He raised Him from the dead. And He has now seated Him in His right hand in glory. And lastly, we must receive Him as our Lord and Savior. He was a gift to this world. I could wrap a gift up this evening and I could lay it back on the table and I could say to someone, here's a gift for you. And I could put it back on the table. When does that gift become yours? It's only yours when you pick it up and receive it and take it as your own. And this is what must be done. The Lord Jesus Christ must be received. After we realize who we are and what we are before Him, and we realize that we need a Savior, the verse was read, that He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The question this evening to each one of us here is, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He just someone you think of as a babe in Bethlehem? Is He just someone that you celebrate a particular day of the year, that being Christmas Day once a year, and perhaps Easter? Or is He your Lord and your Savior and your Master? This is the decision, or the question, I should say, that's put before us this evening. What have we done with the Lord Jesus Christ? We have a big verse on our wall from 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you've never received Him as your Lord and as your Savior, then you're not saved. The whole purpose of this cantata this evening and the songs that were written, the Word of God that was read, was that we focus our minds and our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that He is more than just a babe that came into this world. But there was a message involved in the songs that were sung and the scripture that was read, and that He in fact is Lord and Savior of this world. And He is not willing that any man should perish, but that all might come to repentance. He is long-suffering and He waits. And He's asking each one of us tonight, are you saved? Are you one of His? Let us bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow down before Thee now, thanking Thee for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy wondrous plan of salvation. We thank Thee that He came into this world even as a babe, according to Thy will and Thy purpose. We thank Thee that as He grew, that He was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. He could do no sin. We thank Thee that He offered Himself upon the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. He shed His precious blood, and through our simple faith in this shedding of blood to take away our sins, we can have life. We can have eternal life. We need not fear the judgment and the wrath of a holy God, but we can have peace and security in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Father, we would pray this evening for each and every one here that in these few moments, these few closing moments, that each and every one would examine their own hearts before Thee, that Thy Holy Spirit would speak to anyone here this evening that is not saved, that knows they're not saved, and that Thou art dealing with them. Father, we pray that Thou would impress upon them the importance and the necessity of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we're sinners and that we're doomed to a lost eternity, separated from God forever. Father, we thank Thee for Thy wondrous plan of salvation, which reconciles us back to Thyself, brings us into the family of God, makes us children of God. Father, for the life that we can live and the joy that we can have through Him. Father, we just pray now in these closing moments that Thou would speak to anyone here that is concerned about their soul and about where they'll spend eternity. Father, might they bow the knee to Thee this evening. Father, we thank Thee for the songs that were sung, for the Scripture that was read, for Thy precious Word, most of all for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.